I hope you got a happy nappy today like she does. I know I got a pretty good nap this afternoon. We're going to continue our look at the book of Proverbs tonight. And we're going to look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. And we have keep repeating that this is a book of wisdom. That's when you go to the Bible and you look up the section on wisdom, then that's where you find the book of Proverbs. And it truly is a source of wisdom, as we've noticed. So far, we've seen in the last couple of lessons that Solomon, in his speaking, speaks about this value of this wisdom that he speaks of, that his father taught him. And Solomon has taken different approaches in talking about wisdom. He makes his own appeal as a father to his children. He talked about how his father had spoken to him. But in chapter 1 and again in chapter 4, he made an appeal as a father talking to his children. And in chapter 1, verse 20, and again in chapter 8, verse 1, he personified wisdom as a lady who is inviting people to pay attention. Now, what I mean by personifying is he gives her personal qualities, makes you look at wisdom as though she is an actual woman or lady that needs to be listened to. In this final discussion, he presents a picture of two women, again, personifying wisdom by looking at two different types of women and saying this is the type of wisdom that's provided to us in the world. Now, when we look at Solomon, we realize he didn't live today. He didn't live in 2021. He didn't live in 1981. And he didn't live in 1881. But he lived a lot longer ago than that. But the thing is, what he said is still true today. Wisdom is something that all of us need, and it's something that all of us need to seek and follow after. Both of these women that he pictures in our lesson tonight are extending an invitation. And we're going to do a comparison study. What one offers and how she prepared and the plea that she makes, and then the other one, the preparation, the plea that she makes. One woman personifies wisdom in the first 12 verses. The other woman personifies folly or foolishness in verses 13 through 18. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. But the question is, when we look at these two opportunities, these two separate invitations, we have to choose one. And whose invitation are we going to accept? The lady of wisdom or the lady or madam of folly? I'll tell you what most of society wants to do. They want to follow the lady of folly over here, because that signifies or personifies pleasure in this world. And that's what this world seems to want. I mean, and it's not just our world, our society, but you go all the way back to Solomon himself. Go back to the days of Noah. And the world was after folly, foolishness. And a lot of generations throughout biblical times, that's what they pursue instead of following after this lady of wisdom on this side. But the question needs to be asked, whose invitation are we going to offer? Are we going to accept? Because both are offering an invitation. Well, let's talk about the lady of wisdom first in verses 1 through 12 of Proverbs 9. She has prepared her invitation. She has prepared herself. The text tells us in verse 1 that wisdom, this lady of wisdom, has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She's taken the time. The number seven here suggests the many idea of completeness. She didn't just half-heartedly do this preparation of her house. She went to the fullest extent. Now, you ladies are probably like my wife. Anytime we have company coming, everything is cleaned. Everything. You know what I mean? And I say, sweetheart, they're not going to look there. It doesn't matter. It needs to be clean. Sweetheart, they're not going to go there, but it needs to be clean. Sweetheart, that's my desk. Leave it alone. It needs to be clean. You get what I'm saying here? And that's the lady of wisdom. She went to the nth degree to make sure that the house was prepared. The seven here represents completeness. She spared nothing in preparing her house. And this is compared to sevenfold qualities of wisdom that's described by James in chapter 3 and verse 17. Here he says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. And that's the wisdom that Solomon is relating to in this Lady of Wisdom. He says, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and secure. That describes fully this Lady of Wisdom that Solomon is talking about in Proverbs 9. But she has prepared a feast, spared no expense. Verse 2 says she has slaughtered her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has also furnished her table. She's prepared, as some would say, a sumptuous feast, a delicacy of meat and wine, and the table is fully furnished. Now, my wife can put on a spread when people come over. But what comes to my memory is going to my granny's house on Sunday and looking at the table. And it wouldn't just be food on the table. It'd be food all around the countertop with the sink and the stove and everything. And then you'd go out on the back porch and that 20-foot-long chest freezer would be filled with dessert. Y'all remember them days? That's what comes to my mind when I think of this Lady of Wisdom. In her preparation for people to listen, she's gone beyond and above preparing. She's made careful preparation, and it's a beautiful presentation that she has put before people. So the Lady of Wisdom has made a great effort in making provisions for you to accept her invitation. But then the proverb writer goes on and tells us that she makes a plea. Here's her invitation. She wants to be heard. Verse 3, she has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places in the city. She goes where she's going to be heard the most, the best. You know, when Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, he talked about Christians need to be the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. We need to be seen, and here she knows that in order for people to receive her invitation for this wisdom, she needs to go where not just a select few are going to be, like we'll notice with the Lady of Folly, but where everyone can hear this invitation. She sent out her maidens, reminding us of Jesus in Matthew 10 when he sent out his 12 in the limited commission, as well as when he sent them out in the Great Commission. She cries out from the highest places in the city, the places where everyone will hear what she has to say. Then in verses 4 through 6 it says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. She pleads, she invites the simple and those who are lacking understanding. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. She's not particular about who really hears her invitation. Her invitation, as she stands on the hillside crying out to everybody, is for everyone to come and receive this invitation of her wisdom. But there's some that she does not invite in verses 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. She's telling here that she will not invite those who scoff at people. Those who try to correct people that don't need correcting, in other words. Correcting a scoffer, she says, only shames and harms the one who is doing the correcting. The wise and the just, however, appreciate and will learn and grow from any correction. So again, this Lady of Wisdom has made a great effort to reach any and all who will listen. But see, that's the problem. So many people today don't want to listen to wisdom. They just simply don't. I mean, you look at our society today. Look at everything that's going on with the police department and the killing of people. And the last one that come out where, I think it was in Cleveland, where the young black girl got killed. They're bashing the police officer for killing her while she was trying to kill another girl. and they're tearing the policeman down because he did a sacrificial job of protecting someone that was about to be killed. You know, I find it interesting, the only person that's coming to the defense of the police officer is the young girl that was about to be stabbed to death. She said, "He saved me." She said, "He saved my life." But you look at our society today, you turn on any newscast, and you see a world that's filled with folly and not wisdom. People in our world today are not looking for wisdom. They would rather be the scoffer that's trying to tear down everybody else who has wisdom. But this lady of wisdom has made a great effort to reach everyone who will listen. So she makes her preparation. She makes a plea, but she makes a promise as well. And we see that beginning in verse 10. She makes a promise of both wisdom and understanding. "The fear of the Lord," she says, "is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." She's making an appeal. Her promise is to all those who fear the Lord and to those who know the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom of God begins with a respectful, reverent fear of who He is. But she also promises long life in verse 11. "For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." She says, days will be multiplied, years will be added. Have you ever known? Again, we go back to our society, and I hate to keep doing this, but our society is a perfect example of what we're talking about. The criminals. Have you noticed how young they are when they die? Because they're seeking after folly and not wisdom. Solomon, in writing the book of Ecclesiastes, talks about the gray hair and the wisdom that goes along with that. But the young people in our world today are seeking after folly. And they're not looking to add days and years to their life. They're looking for the here and the now. And really, that's what our society promotes. We live in what I like to call a microwave society. We want everything done right now. Push a button on a microwave and your hamburger's cooked in 2 minutes. Maybe not 2 minutes, but you know what I mean. It's almost instant. Put a cup of coffee in the microwave and push it in there for a minute or so, and it's too hot to drink. And that's the type of society that we live in. People, I mean, go back to look at what society tells us. You have people that drive to a drive-thru window at a restaurant, and because the meal doesn't come fast enough, they jump through the drive-thru window and start shooting at people. "Well, I didn't get my chicken McNuggets fast enough." And that's the society we live in, where they're promoting foolishness, folly, where we need to be teaching them to be patient and look for wisdom in every aspect of life, because it's going to promote fear of God, and long days and long years will be added. She says in verse 12 that it's for our benefit. "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you'll bear it alone." Wisdom will bless one ourselves if we're wise, because you will have God's aid. But scorn, on the other hand, she says, will hurt ourselves. "For you will bear things alone," she says. All right, so we go back to the lady of wisdom. And she wants you to have the best life possible. So again, I ask you, whose invitation are you going to listen to? You going to listen to the lady of wisdom who wants the best for you, or are you going to listen to the lady of folly after we look at her, because I don't think she wants the best for you. The lady of wisdom wants you to have the best life that you can possibly have. And again, I say, you look at our society, and that's not what's promised. That's not what's encouraged. So we look at this lady of folly now in verses 13 through 18. And we look at her preparation. Keep in mind how the lady of wisdom prepared. this lady of folly, the New King James Version says in verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. That's the woman of folly. The English Standard Version reads this way, the woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. This is the foolishness of life. When you look at what's being offered here, searching after the wisdom that God offers, that promises the best that life can give you versus trying to get information and wisdom from someone that knows nothing. They're just loud and boisterous. Right there, we ought to stop and say, okay, I've made my decision. I know where I'm going for wisdom. But that's not the way the world works. She really has made no preparation according to this passage. The Believer's Bible Commentary describes her as a loud-mouthed, empty-headed, and brazen-faced woman. So when we compare the two women for their preparation, the lady of folly, the madam of folly, really lacks preparation compared to the lady of wisdom. There's really no comparison. So I ask you, again, whose invitation are we going to accept? But she also makes a plea, just like the lady of wisdom. In verse 14, first part of verse 14, it says she sits at the door of her house. Remember where the lady of wisdom was? She was on the hillside, crying out for people to listen to her. The lady of folly is sitting at the doorstep, and she said, hey, fella, you want to come in here? Come on. Come in here. Turn inside my house. And you can almost picture in your mind the no good that's going to take place there. Unlike the lady of wisdom, who sent her maidens out to be heard. This woman says she takes the high seat, the seat on the highest places of the town, unlike the lady of wisdom, where she cries out in verse 3. Remember, the New American Standard says that she has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. She wants everybody to hear what she's offering, the wisdom that she's offering. But not this woman of folly. She wants the prestige of being seen by people, but not for the betterment of people. She cries out from a seated position. Most commentaries describe her as being a lazy person. She won't get up. She's sitting in her doorstep. She's sitting in the high places in the city, but she's not up moving about up on the hillside crying out for people to come for what she has prepared for them. Because she's made no preparation. She calls to those who pass by, verses 15 and 16, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, and we'll notice that in a moment. But she's especially after those who are simple, who don't want to search, who don't want to put any effort into life. And doesn't that describe what we call the dumb criminal in our world today? The people that want the easy road. They'd rather rob somebody and kill somebody for a few dollars. Bill Doak, when I preached Cookie's funeral, I sat and talked to him for about 20 minutes because the family wanted time alone. They didn't want anybody up there with them. And he told me a story about where he lives. He lived here in town that. And I don't know how many of y'all know his boys, but they're built like that right there. And he's got one or two that have been in what they call mixed martial art fights. So they're tough. If I'm in a fight, I want them on my side. But one of them that had been in these mixed martial arts walked out, went to visit his mom and dad, and he said, well, the street lights are coming on, I gotta go home to my wife. He walked out. Two houses down on the side of the street, he saw a black man with his feet stuck out of this girl's window, car window. He caught him. The guy tried to pull a knife on him and tried to whip him and everything like that, and they finally went to court. And the prosecutor asked him, said, would you state your name for the record? And he told him, I'm so-and-so Doak. And he goes, now which Doak are you? You know, there's 10 of those kids. and seven of them are boys. And he says, well, I'm such and such. And he goes, oh, so you're the one that's been in the mixed martial arts. He goes, well, I'm retired from that. I just train people how to do it now. And he turned around and looked at the guy that had robbed the car, and he said, you don't know how lucky you are to be alive. But come to find out, this guy used to rob houses. And he took and went away from that and went down to robbing cars because he knew he was going to get caught. And if he got caught robbing a house, he served more time in jail. So he says, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to rob a car. That way when I get caught, I won't have to spend as much time in jail. I can be back out on the street robbing other cars. The old cartoon about the wolf tried blowing down the three little pigs' house. Brains, man. Brains. And that's what the woman of folly is trying to get you to do. Take the easy road in life. Anything that's worth doing in this life is worth putting a little effort into it. You want to know about God? It takes a little bit of study and effort. You have to sacrifice a little time. But she's calling out to those people that are passing by who are simple. Hey, fella, turn in here. I've got the easy way in life. And that's what she's doing. She calls to the ones that are passing by. This woman of folly competes with the lady of wisdom for the very souls of men. Think about that for a moment. You're following the wisdom of God. The wisdom, the lady of wisdom has already promised you that if you'll follow her wisdom, which is the wisdom of God, you'll have long days and many years. And what's the woman of foolishness promising? Nothing. Nothing. Emptiness. And that's what society promises when it compares itself to the Word of God. So what is her promise? You know, both women have made preparation, they made a plea, and both have made a promise. In verse 17, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She's talking about an allusion to illicit intercourse, like in chapter 5 and verse 15. That adulterous woman, she's not promising you anything but a moment of pleasure. And that, again, that goes back to what our society promises you. Folks, being a child of God is not about the here and the now. We have to live in the here and the now, but we're not to be like the rest of the world. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to make up our mind who we're going to follow. The wisdom from the woman of folly, or the wisdom from the lady of wisdom. It's your choice. But what she offers here is a false promise. And we see that again throughout the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, and again in chapter 20. But her true promise is found in verse 18. But he who does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. The promise is unknown to the simple and those who are lacking understanding. They don't know any better. But you, as a child of God, you are to know better because you have the wisdom of God in your life. Her home is a house of the dead. Proverbs 2, verses 18 and 19. Her house is the way to hell. Proverbs 5, verse 5, and chapter 7, and verse 27. So this woman of folly, she promises a lot, but she delivers the very worst life possible. Now you go back to what we said about the woman of wisdom, the lady of wisdom. What does she promise? The very best that life has to offer. Well, what do you want out of life? Do you want the best long life in many years? Or do you want happiness here and now, a moment of pleasure? Again, I go back and ask the question, whose invitation are we going to accept? Both are offering something. The lady of wisdom has prepared a lot, and she delivers what she promises. Or that of the woman of folly, who promises much and then delivers just the opposite, nothing. To me, the choice ought to be obvious. And even the simple-minded and those lacking understanding should be able to see this. This ends Solomon's discussion on wisdom. Next week, Lord willing, or in the next time we study about the book of Proverbs, we're going to just take bits and pieces from the rest of the book and talk about the topics, a topical study of different things that he talks about. But we've talked about making a choice tonight. And the choice is to obey the gospel of Christ or to not. The choice is that if you have done that and you have sin in your life, to repent and confess that sin. That's the choice. There's only two choices that you can make. To follow God or not. I don't get people waiting. I don't understand that. I don't understand people being a Christian and yet living in sin. I don't get it. I wish I could make choices for people, answer their questions, and make the decision for them, but I can't do that. Because that is your decision. That's what you have to answer for. And in the day of judgment, that's what you'll have to answer for. But Solomon clearly gives us here two basic choices. And I don't know that it can be explained any plainer than what Solomon has done. The Lady of Wisdom, who promises and offers everything, and the preparation that she has made and the plea that she has made versus the woman of folly, who makes no preparation, who demands to be seated in the high seats instead of going out and making her plea known to everybody. She's more sneaky. And then what she promises is death. Folly, foolishness leads to death. And God's wisdom leads to life. Again, the choice is yours. The invitation song says, "Is thy heart right with God?"